Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. As you know, all of these podcasts would not happen without all of my amazing sponsors, and I wouldn't have those sponsors if my audience didn't go to their websites, purchase things from their websites, and support those sponsors. And I'm so thankful that all of you have been doing exactly that. There's not a single month that goes by that I don't receive feedback from companies like Luxon MX. You can save 10% off every single order with Big MX 2025 at checkout. And same thing with Backyard Designs. Those guys are amazing. And now they also do custom paint jobs. They do custom wraps on your helmet, and that can be discounted as well. Big MX 24 saves you 24%. I talked to Jared about making that a 25% discount code. Yeah, it's only one extra percent, but hey, it all helps, right? So go to the website. As of right now, it's BigMX24, but we're looking to change that for February. Same goes with Racetech, guys. If you mention Racetech when ordering parts, you're going to save, I believe it's 15%. Same goes with WUSA. If you're looking at a brand new set of wheels, maybe if you're just looking for you can take your stock hubs and get a set of wheels built, mention Big MX Radio, you're going to save some money. Guts Racing, Big MX 20 saves you 20% at checkout. So far it's been really amazing working with some of these companies. We don't have a discount code for Moose Racing yet, but we're looking forward to working with those guys throughout the year, and they've got some great offerings on the gear side of things as well as the hard parts. If you haven't checked out Moose Racing's hard parts, honestly, they've got some of the best in the business and certainly some with the best bang for your buck. So I would seriously go check those guys out. We're also working with race-winning brands this year. A couple of companies that have sort of jumped on board to be advertisers here on Big MX Radio, Pro-X. Not only the pistons, but also the myriad of hard parts that they also have, as well as Recluse clutches. If you're in the woods, you're going to want a Recluse. It's just the thing to use out there when you're going over the roots and the rocks and all that fun stuff. A Recluse clutch is something that you're definitely going to want to look into if you're doing some more of that. But we're about 2 minutes into this podcast. We haven't talked about the racing, so let's get straight to it. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to support my sponsors. Would not be able to do it without them, and would not be able to do it without listeners like you.
Okay, yeah, I'll...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, the voice of Arena Cross, the voice of GNCC, he is Zach Heron. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, man? Good to see you. Good to be back. And yeah, another great weekend of racing, both Arena Cross and Supercross, and excited to dive into it.
Last week, we asked the question. This week, we got the answer. Who can beat Vince Freese? Nobody.
Yeah, I think at the moment, the biggest person that can beat Vince Freese is Vince Freese. You know, I think for those of you that maybe didn't catch or didn't watch exactly what happened, had a great performance in main event one after a rare, terrible start, was outside the top five coming around the first turn. But I'm going to call it like I see it. You know, Vince ducked underneath the final tough block in the first turn. You know, by the rules, that was cutting the track, gained an advantage, and was docked two positions following the race. Needless to say, he was not super excited about it, but... yeah, we've seen multiple camera angles of it, multiple videos of it. And, you know, I'm going to kind of clap back at Vince. You know, he's kind of accused the series of being a little, inconsistent with their calls. And, you know, Bruce, who is our AMA referee, Bruce Richardson, I think did an incredible job. You know, he didn't, make a call off of instinct. He didn't make a call off of eyesight, right? I even said that I witnessed it, and he said, Zach, I appreciate that, but I have to see it. I have to see footage of it. And so they collected some evidence, collected some videos, and made the call. And quite frankly, what also frustrates me is per the AMA rules, I believe he was able to be penalized up to four positions. So it is kind of frustrating to hear, you know, I don't expect Vince to be happy about getting penalized, but I do think that the rules were followed per what they're laid out in the AMA guidebook. And so that kind of put him on his back foot for main event two, but Vince Freeze, you back him into a corner, he's gonna come out swinging, and he did. He dominated. Michael Hicks, who we saw make that big exceptional pass at our last round, I think he was pretty winded. This was a much larger arena cross track than we've seen all year long, rivaling Supercross lap times. Michael was not only racing the AX Pro class, but that X Pro Start class as well. And you could see it the second half of the races, man. I don't want to say his tongue were in the spokes, but he was going backwards. And I think it caught up with him. I think he was getting really overheated. He was very, very red when he came off the track. You could just kind of tell the fatigue was setting in. So not the night that he was hoping for. Still managed to grab an overall podium. And then Ryan Brees, we know he's got a banged up knee. I believe a totally torn ACL. Stay calm, quiet, but consistent. I believe it was a 2-2 on the night and walked away with a second overall. So right now, Vince is in the driver's seat of the championship, but man, it's arena cross racing. Anything can happen. And whether it be, Vince, hit the self-destruct button, or whether it's somebody else, go after Vince and bring the fight to him. Anything can happen. We've got Reno this coming weekend and then Prescott Valley the following weekend as well. So if something happens and somebody gets banged up, there's not a lot of rest time. But Vince, man, yeah, I thought maybe that was going to shake him off his game after the first main event. He shut me down in main two and got the job done.
He certainly did. And this should be a surprise to absolutely no one that throughout this series that Vince Freeze has done a lot of winning and has made about a zero friends. That's never been his MO. That's never what he's been concerned about. But Vince Freeze has gone about his business exactly how Vince Freeze does. That's why you bring him into arena cross. He is that nuclear element that is going to disturb things. And he's done exactly that. He's also done a lot of winning and is currently enjoying a points lead and a red plate to go along with it. I think you're totally right on Michael Hicks. Can we also mention that looks like he switched teams? It was Rock River Gizmo Mods Yamaha, and now a completely different program. Maybe like obviously like not it's still a Yamaha, but a lot of other different elements in play here. That also weighing on him on top of a very busy schedule, and of course the next to the top contender in the series is out there as a wounded warrior. Missing an ACL in the dominant knee there. Ryan Brees, he's gutting it out. And like you said, anything can happen. But right now it's Vince Freeze all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back to last year, we talked about Ryan Brees fighting from behind, trying to catch the gap up to Kyle Peters. And so Ryan is painfully aware of how quickly things can change in this series. And so I think a lot of people wouldn't have blamed him. You know, you got a hurt ACL. I think other parts of the knee are bothering him as well. This track was not the track you want to have a hurt knee on. The guy's super tough. He kind of keeps it quiet, a little reserved, but I know he had to be hurting following the evening. But he knows, hey, the only way to guarantee I'm not going to win this thing is to not line up. And so got the qualifying done, got in, put the laps in clean, didn't take any unnecessary risks, but walking away with a second place overall on the weekend is a phenomenal way to continue the championship dream. Touching on your point with Michael Hicks, yeah, he jumps over to that Newell All Balls Racing EBR Yamaha team. And I believe that actually took a little bit of stress off of him. Right. Obviously, I don't know the nitty-gritty details as far as the Rock River deal and then how the switch came to be. But I do believe that I think this is going to help him a little bit more. I think they're taking on a little bit more of the grunt work and the load for Michael. But man, it's just one of those nights, right? Sometimes you line up and it just doesn't go your way. I do think being involved in both classes was a detriment to Michael. He even said it in the press conference. Usually I'm able to recover pretty easy. I also think he got a lot more of a fight from Justin Bogle in the X Pro class than he's used to. Bogle, yeah. hometown crowd, Oklahoma was cheering him on, and he brought the fight to Michael and grabbed the win in the X-Pro main event. So I think it was just one of those nights where there was a lot of stuff going on, long laps, a lot of racing for Michael Hicks, and just came up a little bit short on the fitness side. But like we said, managing, damage control, an overall podium, not a bad night.
Here's what I'll say about Justin Bogle. When that guy wants to flip the switch, he can flip it, and he's one of the best in the business at doing it.
Without a doubt, the guy's got style for miles, and you could tell he had a good feeling going into the weekend. He was walking around. We actually put a microphone on him. He was chatting with some of our Cobra kids because we had the amateur national Saturday and Sunday. was walking around the track, and I got to listen to a little bit of it. And the guy's just a nice guy, right? Like, he's chatting up with the Cobra kids, you know, asking them, well, what line do you think you're going to do here? Not just kind of playing cool guy, pro guy. He was, you know, genuinely interested in their feelings. He was even telling me on the interview, he was like, man, some of the lines these Cobra kids thought they were doing had me scared. Like, so it's cool to see, kind of, we see this a lot in the tail end of careers. Not that Justin's going to be hanging it up anytime soon, but the appreciation factor just seems to come to life so much more in the later half of your racing career. I mean, you could genuinely see how much it meant for him to be able to win in front of his home crowd. He said there were a ton of people that he knew growing up that he hasn't seen in years. Now he gets to race in front of them, to be able to win in front of them as well. That was probably the loudest the crowd was the entire night.
Fair enough. Last thing we'll talk about before moving over to Supercross is, what do you think that Kyle Peters is thinking about all of this?
I don't know. It's got to be painful to watch. I want to believe that Kyle is watching, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he's not, because I know it had to be so painful to be that close to making history. I mean, to kind of be the guy in a series for so long, he's got to be bummed. But I mean, Kyle's tough. And from what we've heard, we talked to him a few rounds ago on Zoom following the incident, and doesn't sound like he's done quite yet. So the best are able to take trials and use them as opportunities to overcome, right? They take the bad and they turn it into motivation. You know, it's not the fall down, it's the comeback, right? And so if you're Kyle Peters, I'm hoping, I haven't heard whether he's had the surgery yet or not, how the nerve damage is feeling. Obviously, that's top priority, right? I want the guy to be able to use his limbs properly and not be in pain. But if he is able to do it, I know he's pounding the pavement, putting in the time off the machine, hopefully going to get surgery done if it hasn't been already, and start the drive for the comeback season, because I think this season has shown the level overall of racing has raised, whether that's just the MCR crew, which I don't believe. I think the presence of a properly backed Ryan Breese, I think Michael Hicks has caught a lot of people by surprise, myself included, as far as the intensity he's been able to bring. Politelli's been super consistent this year. You could tell he's raised the fitness level. Then you have Breese, and then, of course, Vince Freese. I mean, and then you've got, you know, riders like Brandon Ray, riders like Chandler Baker that are showing up, and maybe they're not threatening to win, but if you don't get a good start, it's going to take you 2 to 3 laps to get around these guys. Exactly. And so I think the overall level of the game has been raised. Kyle Peters is going to have to not only get back to the way he was, but maybe even find a way to get better than that to be able to be competing for wins again.
Love it. So do we dive straight into this whole Lucas Myrtle situation, or do we leave that for the end of the podcast? Is this a little bit of a little nugget that we make people want to listen to the end of the podcast?
I don't know.
Otherwise, there's no real reason to get to the end of the podcast.
You've brought it up now. Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, I don't want to touch on it too much, because I will be honest. I've read all the posts. I've listened to the statements that have been made. He's come on another podcast and given a statement. It's interesting. I'll just put it like that. It's very interesting. I do think that the public is only aware of certain percentage of the information. You've got to think litigation is involved on both sides, and lawyers are probably giving, if there's not already tons of lawyers, giving tons of advice to say less, right? I think less is more. I think public perception has shown a lot of things. Got to be a little tough for Lucas. I don't know him very much on a personal level. I've met him a few times, but I think the public reaction was pretty brutal. And I don't care how tough you are, how much of a thick skin you've got. It's got to be tough. But I also don't think reputation is always unearned, right? So you got to give a point to that as well. But to be on the far side of, this did not happen, I don't understand what's going on, and then to have the statements that we got from the Lawrence camp and from Wasserman Group, man, one's over here, one's over here. Where is the truth?
Somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, where is the full story? And so for me, I don't want to speculate too much. I don't have a dog in the fight. I just hope, I don't want anybody's money getting stolen. So if it happened, whether it was from Lucas, whether it was from somebody else, I'm not about that. These riders risk too much, put too much time and effort in it to have $20 taken from them, let alone, you know, a larger sum of money. But I'm also very, very against publicly shaming somebody, not giving the full story, and misleading information without knowing 100% of the facts. So if it comes out that Lucas is innocent, I think he's got every right to be beyond upset and to go back.
And he'll also be set for life if he is. So.
Right. And I don't think that's what he wants. I don't think the goal is to be able to sue, take a bunch of money and ride off into the sunset. He had an amazing thing going. He was kind of the guy as far as sports agents go. That reputation is going to be hard to resume. But from what I've heard, according to him, he 100% believes in his innocence. He doesn't plan on going anywhere, not only as an agent, but in the sport. So we'll see. I mean, I just hope little by little, the public, us general folk, are filled in, right? Because I hope it's not something where the lawyers bury it and it's just never mentioned again. So we'll see. It's a tough call either way you look at it. I just hope that the truth comes out and justice is properly served to whoever it goes to.
I completely agree. I'll say this is, I think what some is lost in the whole thing is that this is a sad story.
Exactly.
This is a relationship that has been, better part of 10 years in the making between, Luke Smertl and the Lawrence family. There's relationships that have been shattered, memories that are now stained, every championship, and race win and photo, that people are, that you can't look at them the same way anymore. I question why this needed to be so public.
I agree.
Like I've left companies before, talked to HR. I've been asked to leave companies before by HR. And that was always done in private, in a boardroom, with a fat envelope, basically outlining the details of the separation. This was not that. This was, I'm very surprised that, there is such a giant gap in essentially both stories. And which, like I said earlier, that tells me that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Given the fact that we don't have a lot of details at all. We have, one well-written, post, a couple of not so well-written posts, but hey, like full disclosure to a guy like Luke Smertl, I cannot even imagine the situation, the mental landscape he was in when making those posts. I think maybe in hindsight, possibly maybe wouldn't have made those posts, but I can't say that for him. I wish nothing but the best for the Lawrences and all of his clients, of which he had very many. We're talking Chance Hymus. We're talking Joe Shimoda, Ty Masterpool, the Kunin brothers. I'm sure there was others in the stable, and that is a lot of questions that need answering from both Travis Clark and Jacob Hayes. Just like the comeback story of a guy like Kyle Peters, I hope that Lucas is able to make a comeback story of his own if he's in fact innocent of these allegations or these. That's all I want to say about that. It's a sad story. This is for those who are piling on or dancing on someone's grave. Shame on you. But that's all I want to say on that. We'll move on. We had one of the most badass, absolutely electric supercross races this last weekend. You literally have teenagers champing at the bit. These kids were all born in the late 2000s and they hate each other and they're vocal about it and they don't give a shit and they're fast and they got speed. They're from different countries. They're from different states. They have completely, they come from different sports backgrounds. You got Juju Bomir, who like a relatively unknown on the amateur motocross scene. Like that kid raced Suzuki's when it wasn't cool to race Suzuki's. Like, and that's recently, by the way, like racing Suzuki's at Monster Cup and stuff like that. Not something to write home about. Now he finds himself on factory KTM, Red Bull factory racing. He's brought back an iconic brand like One Industries. Like every single one of those kits has been complete fire. And then you have the absolute lightning rod that is Hayden Danger Boy Deegan, who will pick a fight with Goliath if he says the wrong thing or happens to beat him in a heat race. I'm just rubbing my hands together. This is like we're only three rounds into this. We are going back to Juju's backyard. And we're almost tied on points. He's still got the red plate. And yeah, it doesn't sound like with all the like the internet shit talking, we're just talking the 250 class and completely forget the fact that Ken Roczen now has the red plate for the first Suzuki has the first the red plate for the first time since 2016. Let's go.
Yeah, what's cool now, Brad? Yeah, absolutely. The yellow bike looking strong. I mean, coming into the weekend, obviously I
They're
was
a
at
rip in the
Arena.
space-time
Yeah, I'm
continuum,
like, I'm
like
at Arena Cross and we're all sitting there talking and we're just like, you know, several people have put money down and put bets down. And I mean, I don't think anybody had Ken Roczen walking away with a red plate, and maybe we're fools for not realizing the possibility of it. You know, we'll jump to the 250s to start.
yeah.
Yeah, man, you gotta love it. I mean, I'm a bit of a drama king, right? We like the gossip. I don't like being involved with
You're
it,
like
but
a
I
moth to the
certainly,
flame.
yeah, I certainly enjoy watching it. And you have such stark contrast as far as personality goes. The extremely outspoken Hayden Deegan, who I respect looking for motivation in anger, in maybe even hatred. I don't think it's any secret that Hayden, I don't think, is listening to a lot of these podcasts. You know, Pulp MX has Juju on. Juju.
Doesn't seem like a podcast guy.
Yeah, I don't really see him paying too much attention to it, or at least those podcasts. But I Juju went on, and I listened to to that episode. I don't think Julian said anything that even he considered to be disrespectful, but, you know, basically said, hey, yeah, I've been racing this kid since I was six. I know what comes with the territory, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, the while I don't think the pass was terrible that put Julian on the ground, the look back was a statement. And I think Julian is so respectful. You know, he had that opportunity early in the main event to where if he wanted to, Danger Boy could still be picking himself up. But I think Julian is really trying to take the higher road. You got to think there's some serious advice from the Red Bull KTM group as well. These guys are not the let's get into a fight type. Even when you've got kind of the wiry, the chippy Cooper Webb, he kind of reeled some of that back in, let his riding do the talking. Ryan Dungey, he's not getting involved in all that stuff. And so even Chase Sexton, right? He's got a very professionalism, clean cut look, and that's the way KTM Group seems that they want it. But you got to think that there has to be some kind of response. And Julian's, I think, Instagram post was perfect because even that wasn't like a you suck, Hayden, this, that, the other thing. It was a dude, what are you talking about? And then it was a here's my race. It's so funny to see almost a Conor McGregor like mental warfare being
Oh
used by
yeah.
Hayden Deegan. And I love that because I'm a big fan of mixed martial arts. I enjoy that side of the sport as much as any part where the ability to get in your competitor's head. Cooper Webb, also very known for that. One Jason Lawrence, very well known for that, being able to win the race before the gate even drops. Now, I don't think Juju is shaking in his boots. I don't think he's scared from this, but you got to wonder Hayden's ability to consistently pursue this kind of smack talking both on and off the track, right? He's messing up fast laps. He's looking back on the track. He's doing little things. And it seems like the team is supporting this behavior where it's like, hey, my goal at the end of the day is to get this guy off of his game one way or another. If that's a comment on Instagram, if that's a look back in practice, I'm going to do whatever it takes. The race does not begin at the end of the night. The race starts on the Monday after the last race. And so that to me is smart on Deegan's part. I think it
Oh,
is
it's
a
all
part of a
marketing.
strategy. Clearly Hayden's still fast. He's still putting in the work. It's not like he's running his mouth and not training. The guy's putting in effort, but best believe his ability to talk smack, maybe get a little bit back, got a response back from Juju. And I'm sure for Hayden, that was blood in the water. It's like, oh, this kid's invested now. And then he sends another thing out. I've seen that has been taken down off of social media. So, you know, maybe Dada got a little talking to, said, hey, there's fun and games, and then there's crossing the line. So,
Nah, I'm thinking that comes from a little higher up.
well, that's what I mean. I think somebody told them that that's not going to work. But it's the internet, baby. I've seen it six times on Twitter this morning. So, nonetheless, the
Yeah.
damage was done. But yeah. Julian, I do think
Instagram has that download feature.
Yeah, right. I think Julian's going to need to respond. And even you and I talked about this yesterday. I think the absolute most that he could do, or the thing that would hurt Danger Boy the most, is start a few positions behind him, catch him, not mess with his race, beat him, and leave him in the dust. That shuts up everybody. You can't argue with that. There's also the maybe I don't start, you know, in front of him. I get up to him and I put him on the dirt. And if you're Julian, I'd make it a point. Hey, I didn't need to. I wanted to, and I did. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of that as well. But you already know the response from Hayden is going to be, oh, that's the only way he can beat me. So it's a damned if you
it's
do.
It's all
damned
now. They're going to spin it, right? Yeah,
well, like man, it's great for you and me and everybody else watching because it is just it's so much fun. Sport hasn't really had a lot of drama like this in a while. You know, we had the Jason Anderson, Jet Lawrence incident, and even that kind of got muffled down, right? It was like, hey, it happened. Neither one of us really have much to say about it. Let's get back to racing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, it's a lot of fun. Like you said, these kids are pissed off. They got a whole lot of testosterone. They got some chips on their shoulders. They got some Instagram baddies they're probably talking to at the same time. Like there's a lot on the line beyond just a trophy and some money, and I'm all about it. I love it. Meanwhile, you flip to the 450 class. Dude, I love the support that the 450 class is getting. Jet Lawrence, we saw insane battle with Eli Tomac last weekend, comes up, gives him a hug, gives him some knuckle taps, says that was a hell of a race. This weekend, I've seen the same exact thing. He walks over to Ken. He's pumped up. Obviously, we saw Jet get back to Jet ways, jetting around and jetting off from the rest of the field. Nobody's surprised. I do believe we had the picks right. Didn't we pick Danger Boy and Jet?
I did, yeah. We were like, I was of the mind that we weren't getting out of California without both those guys getting a win. It wouldn't have felt right to me or either one of those guys, especially, of course, Hayden. That's his backyard. But yeah, like, not to spin the clocks back too far, but like, can we also acknowledge that the 250 West class is an absolute triage unit? Like, yep. Everybody hurt.
Everybody's getting hurt.
Well, like hats off to like the guys who have like basically filled in the rest of the top 10. But yeah, you got.
Can I also say that I don't know that the triage.
You don't know what their names are.
Part of it. No. I'm saying I don't know if that's going to affect the top three.
No, Cole Davies that is on set in stone
fire, and I genuinely think he might be in the same position if everybody we thought was going to be there was sitting on the line. Yep. So I mean,
kid's
maybe
special.
He is. He is very, very special. And he's very soft spoken too. He's not getting too involved with the drama, but give it time. Give it time. Cause I have heard Cole's a bit of a talker, right? Not in the, like, I'm going to say a lot, but I'm going to say how I feel plainly, bluntly, and let you know exactly what. And so you got to think whether or not that's going to start to maybe rub Deegan the wrong way, especially with them being under the same tent. But yeah, to your point, who else did we lose? We lost both of the PC guys. Shout out Drew Adams. Solid
debut. We lost all three PC guys.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Drew did exactly what I was hoping Drew was going to do. Don't do anything stupid. Take what you're given and get to the next round, please. And so,
8th in qualifying out of the B practice.
Can't go wrong with that. I mean, you know, we know this kid's got talent, and I think he's got a very, very bright future ahead. But don't let the pressure, don't let the hype get to you. Just continue to stack some of those results. This is supposed to be a building year for you. Build. Don't think you're going to get it all figured out in 2 weekends. Take your time. And I think that's what we will see from Drew Adams. Hate that Ryder D was out because I do think we were going to see some big things from him.
Or at least a step forward, which we needed.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And I think Jordan Smith probably scratching the head a little bit too. Like, damn, these kids are hauling. Like, I mean, Jordan Smith's around my age, maybe a little bit older. And it's like, oh my God, like I'm starting to notice the difference 10 years will do. But, it is. It's tough to not have as full of a field, but it hasn't been short on action. Hasn't been short on drama. I mean, it's worked out. And there's a lot of riders, like you said, that are getting their first top tens that are making mains that, you know, have never done it before. So, there is the other side of it. Sure, we'd love to see everybody healthy. We'd love to see everybody out there. But there is another side of it, too, where you never know. Some kids get some confidence. They maybe get some good results, get a chance on a better team next year. Never know what it leads to.
100%. You just hit the nail on the head a number of times there. Let's flip things back to the 450 class. Eli Tomac, like that gate produced almost every hole shot until the very last race of the night. And I don't know if it was wheel spin. I don't know if something didn't go right. And he and his teammate were side by each going through the first corner, and there's nothing but back fenders in front of him. The only person who possibly had a worse night was Kyle Chisholm, who he ended up pumping a tough block, did not look good. His knee is all black, blue, and everything else in between. Is it me, or did the track seem hard to pass? It made it difficult for guys to move through.
I don't think it was I don't think it was the best passing, but I think what really limited it in that main was the weather. I mean, when it started pouring rain, and I do think Eli said, like, he lit the back tire up off of the gate. And
everywhere.
I'm not sure how that works. So I'm assuming you pick the gate almost immediately, like, while the 250 main's going on, and then you're stuck with it. Like, that's what you've got. And so it sounds like as the rain started to fall harder and harder, basically Eli is just watching this nightmare in front of him where this gate just goes from the hole shot gate to getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't really know what the condition of it looked by the time the gate dropped, but for whatever reason, the change or the adjustments made to those new conditions wasn't there. We actually saw the line of Eli's back wheel when he came off the gate. And I mean, it looked like he was getting ready to try to cut a donut. And so not the start that he wanted, but you know, we knew somebody was going to, you know, he was going to have a bad night, you know, eventually. And so Jets had his issues. Chase has had his issues. Eli's had his now. I think it's going to come down, just like I said, preseason, to limiting mistakes. I mean, I think a big props needs to be given to Jason Anderson. I'll be the first to say I have not expected multiple podiums out of him this early in the season. But not only did he get podiums, I mean, man, he was keeping Jet at bay. And very smart rider, kind of similar to Webb in a way of, like, knows where the rider in front of him is going to – or behind him is going to go. And made it clear for Jet, if you're going to get around me, you're going to have to get around me. You're not going to show me a wheel and be given the pass. You're going to have to make it happen and close the door on me. And Jet did, respectfully, right? He didn't park Jason either. So I think there's a lot of respect, and we're seeing a lot of riders on top of their game. But Ken Roczen, man, again, quiet, consistent, and holding the red plate.
Yeah, no, it's like he's been on the podium. I think he's performed better than most expected. And he's also capitalized on the fact that two guys that have won races have also been buried at the beginning of the races. I obviously, like, we know Chase Sexton was not feeling his best. I think that if he was, like, at a full bill of health, maybe he's able to go catch Jason Anderson close to the end of that race. But that's neither here nor there. He finds himself now, I believe, third in points. And we've got a title fight on our hands. He's second in points, and Eli Tomac and Jet Lawrence are now tied 5 points back. Your top four are separated by 5 points. I'm really impressed by this whole thing. This thing has barely gotten started, and we've got battles everywhere within the series. And honestly, I'm waiting to find out whether or not we're going to get a Ken Roczen win. He certainly looks like he has the juice this year. I'd say he looks better than years previous when he did get wins. So I'm going to say he gets one.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ken has always had that raw speed and the ability to get it done with the right conditions. But right now, he just seems so comfortable. I mean, he seems so at home. Not only Ken's also, he's always been a very big peace guy, right? When Ken is at peace and he's exactly when he's not feeling anything too crazy, that's when he's dangerous. Exactly. And now he's got this confidence to go along with it too. I mean, his Insta banger that he put up alone lets you know where he's at head game wise. See, this kid is fired up, and I think he is wanting to show it ain't over yet. It's not done. Yeah. Obviously there's speculation with that team and that bike. I mean, we can just say it, right? Everybody kind of jokes and hates on the Suzuki, but it's a capable machine, and he has shown that repeatedly. He's gotten some parts this year that I think has improved the way he feels on it, improves his competitiveness on it. And I don't think Roczen didn't believe in the machine 100%, but if he was maybe 95, now he's 97 to 99. You know what I mean? I think now he knows, hey, this can do it. And I think Ken is also believing, hey, I'm not going to rush things. I'm not going to throw this away early. I want to keep getting these solid results. It's paid off for him now because the consistency is why he's got the red plate. So let him continue to dial some things in. I'm very curious to see once the series moves over east, we kind of have that shuffle in consistency, right? That's when we usually kind of see Cooper Webb come to life. Maybe Anderson doesn't quite have the same ability. So we'll see how the roles change as this, you know, as the next five races or so go on. But yeah, like you said, top four, 5 points out. Are you kidding me? We couldn't draw it up any better.
Yeah, no, we do have a big gap from it, from those guys on backwards, because we've had some inconsistency and just some so-so finishes from some of the other contenders. Like you have, Anderson, who's gone 3-13-3. Not a picture of consistency so far, but I like to see the speed being there. Maybe he's able to, kick that up a notch and get himself a win. I guess that brings us to the final bit of the podcast. Let's get some winners for Anna, for, AZ, the Phoenix Supercross, otherwise known as Glendale, because that's where the actual stadium is, Glendale, Arizona. Give me a, where's your crystal ball and, where can we get a prediction?
I'm thinking on this one, and I'll be honest, I'm gonna go wild card. I'm not even gonna say it's a prediction, but I can see, just with the way things are going between Hayden and Julian, I'm gonna either say Cole Davies or Jordan Smith for 250s. I don't think it is Hayden or Juju, because
you think they're both in the cheap seats.
No, I think. But I could see one of them not being on the podium. Like, depending on how these guys let their tempers go, I could see that biting them. And so I think Davies is, like we said, he is special right now. He's really quick off the gate. Putting himself up there early could be huge. Smith, I truly believe, has the speed. He's just got to – he can't fall. That's the long and the short of it. And so, I'm going to – I fully prepared to be wrong, but I'm going to say either Cole Davies or Jordan Smith grabs the win in 250s. 450s. Have we seen weather? Any sign of rain? Anything like that?
It's a dome.
I haven't looked. Oh, perfect. Even better. let's go.
They do like to open the roof, but if it's raining, they'll close it.
Yeah, that was about to say. I hope. Let's go. I'm gonna say Chase Sexton. I'm gonna say Sexton needs to respond. We'll see. I think I really feel like this year qualifying has told us a fair amount. Now, I know there's been I don't know what the sickness is, but clearly there's been a serious case of the creeping crud going around. So that's going to tell a lot of it as well. I think Chase needs to respond. I think Chase needs to get up there in the fight. But we'll see. Jets seem to have some stuff figured out, and that could be bad. So. Again, prepared to be wrong, but I'm going to take Chase.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Jet Lawrence. I'm going to be boring. I think we've had so much inconsistency. I think we actually get a glimpse of how it's going to be. And, I think Jet Lawrence, rides the way he knows. He's at will. He'll go out and get his second win, creep that much closer, possibly actually grab his share of the points lead. Maybe he never relinquishes it after this weekend coming up. That could totally happen. And then in the 250 class, I think the hometown boy gets it done. I think Julian Beaumaire, King Julian, as he's now being called, which I'm not 100% on board with that, aside from I do love those movies. Madagascar is hilarious.
Yes, King Julian.
like a footless chicken. You mean a headless chicken. How am I supposed to run around without a head?
That was a classic. That needs to be in the next Instagram edit for him.
Yeah, you can't run around like a footless chicken. You mean a headless chicken.
I like to move it over every one of his videos.
That needs to be the song.
That's got to be his come out song, And that's a good point, too, home crowd. But, and again, I think the fact that the games that Hayden plays is, you know, I go back to the Conor McGregor reference, okay? Conor McGregor was fighting Jose Aldo, and I know we're losing people by the second with this one.
That's fine.
Jose did not speak English. I believe he's Brazilian. Conor McGregor learned to say, "You are going to die" in Brazilian. And he said that to Jose's face in the weigh-in, right in his face. And you could see Jose, like, caught completely off guard by this ability to tap into the personal side of Jose. Hayden Deegan is the guy that looks that extra level where he knows this is Juju's backyard. I don't know what it means. I don't mean whether it parks him, whether it's what the game is, but I do think Hayden's going to increase the level of games played because he knows if there's one place I want to beat this kid, it's right where everybody loves him. So we'll see.
That reminds me of the other guys when like Mark Wahlberg's character like learns how to dance ironically to make fun of yes. someone. Like, did you learn Portuguese just to say something mean? It's like, yes. Oh, I love it. All right, cool. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. You have yourself a great rest of your day, my friend. Looking forward to the GNCC series, looking forward to more arena cross, and looking forward to more Zach Herron here on the Big MX Radio podcast, brought to you by Race Tech and Luxon MX, and now Race Winning Brands, where I think we got to get a brand new top end over to you for that 450. You crack that thing open. She doesn't have a lot of hours in her, but a fresh piston and a little extra compression would do you good. Yeah,
certainly does not hurt. Absolutely, yeah. I can take all the help I can get. So, but no, thanks for the time, man. Like I said, always a ton of fun, and we'll get ready to do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Best 42 in the land, all ages from kids up to grown men, walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee? Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times. This 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rally fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.